everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
We're talking kayfabe here.
Yeah.
We're talking wrestling world. We're talking Stately Wayne Manor. We're talking February 95.
Yeah. Do you want to just real quick talk about the pay-per-view we just watched?
Did we watch a pay-per-view? Oh, man. That was just garbage. Or the main event was, I should say. I enjoyed the rest of it, but
okay, so we watched the Elimination Chamber, WWE Elimination Chamber, just finished, at least for us, we just finished it.
Yeah, we just finished it.
And
I don't know.
I mean, it was one of those things where, okay, so Roman Reigns won.
He won.
And he's going to face Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania.
Big deal. Whoop.
It's one of those things where you already knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
And that's kind of the bullshit about it.
I hated it.
Yeah. Although, I was surprised that you... Who would you rather have won?
None of those guys.
Well, who should be in that spot?
I don't know. None of those guys. I mean, honestly, I would love Samoa Joe, but he's injured.
Yeah. I feel like Samoa Joe might have... would definitely been in the mix, mm-hmm. had he been healthy.
Yeah.
He's had a rough go.
Yeah, he's been hurt. Hasn't been able to stay healthy.
I know, that sucks.
Yeah, it's too bad.
And it's kind of like, it sucks for guys like him who, you know, he's got such a great presence, but, you know, and people like us know he's awesome, but he's not going to, like, get that in the eyes of the WWE fans,
mm-hmm.
you know, much like that, especially in a situation where he probably could have had that, you know, if it wasn't for being hurt. But
I would have rather John Cena won than Roman Reigns.
Well, I mean, that's one way you could have gone with it. I mean, I would rather just see Braun Strowman. I'm a Braun Strowman fan. I would have just liked to have seen that and have them finally pull the trigger with him.
I don't like his ring gear.
Yeah, well.
Leaves a lot to be desired.
But also, what else we have on there? We had the Ronda Rousey signing.
Yeah, that was okay. She sucks on the mic, but what can you do?
Well, they're gonna have to get somebody to talk for her.
Yeah.
Like somebody to do stuff. I think that's really evident after tonight. Like you could tell she was nervous and it reeks of a celebrity biz deal. You know, I mean, I know that it's legit, like she's actually gonna be a competitor, but
yeah.
And the people were saying, it's like, oh, she's good on the mic.
Well, she wasn't tonight.
Yeah, she wasn't tonight. Look, I'm not a regular watcher of UFC, so I don't watch her. I mean, I know she's got like a certain charm to her and stuff like that, but I don't see it. So.
Yeah.
What else? We had the tag titles,
mm-hmm.
The Bar against Titus Worldwide. That was an okay match.
I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that one.
I was late.
You came in, you saw...
Nia Jax and Asuka.
Yeah, that was a pretty good match. Yeah,
that was a pretty good match.
They had some good... they actually really made it, so I think Nia and Asuka... Nia was very competitive.
Yeah, Nia looked good. She looked strong.
Yeah.
She should have won. She didn't win. And no. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
And then what else was there?
That was it as far as I saw, I think. I saw Matt Hardy against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, yeah.
That was an okay match.
I don't know why they just did, if they were just going to do that match here, why did they do it a month earlier?
Yeah, I guess what they're going to do is just have it extend to WrestleMania. Neither one of those guys will be doing anything else, I guess. So have them wrestle on the pre-show for the rubber match.
Well, I don't know if they'll do a pre-show, but they'll probably do some, if they can do it. And hopefully, I don't know if Jeff's going to be ready by then, but maybe they could do some stupid gimmick match with them, but I don't know.
Maybe the Bludgeon Brothers will come out and bludgeon Matt Hardy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not really doing anything on SmackDown. They're squashing people.
They're just bludgeoning people.
Literally bludgeoning.
It's hard to watch because it's like they bludgeon them so hard. So I don't want to watch people get bludgeoned. Yeah.
Well, they don't really. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's they're not really. They're doing a slow roll with them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to get as over as people would hope. I mean, they're good, but I feel like that people are, you know, especially on SmackDown, like the Usos are it and the New Day are it. And everybody else kind of is like, in terms of like, in the eyes of the fans, is like way lower.
Well, they just dismantled the Hype Bros because you can't have two brothers tag teams.
No.
So.
They could have called them the Hypesters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had the women's chamber match, which you didn't see.
No.
And I actually missed it because I was on a phone call.
Oh.
But I saw the entrances.
That's cool.
That happened.
Yeah.
And then Alexa Bliss won, as expected. So she can go on to WrestleMania and lose to Asuka. So there you go. That's your Elimination Chamber review.
There you go. I give it a meh.
I give it a, it was a thing.
Yeah.
It was a thing, and it, thankfully it's $9.99 on the network. I would much rather be watching WCW 1998.
I was pleasantly surprised that Jonathan Coachman is calling the action now, because I was not aware of that. So
yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back. He's doing his thing. They shuffled it up a bit.
I canceled my DirecTV, so I don't watch Raw and SmackDown anymore. So I had no idea Jonathan Coachman was calling the action.
Yeah. But, cool. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That was a highlight of the evening for you.
It was, yeah.
They had a pre-show match with The Bar against the Miztourage.
Oh.
And the Bar won that.
Was it
not the Bar. The Bullet Club.
Oh, the Bullet Club.
Magic, whatever the fuck they call it. The Club.
Yeah. The Magic Club.
It's so stupid that they call them the Club. Because it just makes me think of the thing you put on your car so it doesn't get stolen.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're the Club.
Yeah.
They should have that on their trunks.
They should. They should bring those to the ring. Those would be great weapons.
Maybe I'll edit that in WWE 2K18. I'll make trunks with the Club on them.
I would like it if you can find a weapon underneath the ring and it's a club.
Yeah.
Like a car club, and you can use that to hit people with.
That would be cool.
Because those things would really hurt somebody.
That would. Those are pretty hard.
I don't know how you gimmick one of those unless you make it out of plastic.
Yeah.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of it being a club.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so that's your Elimination 2018.
Do people still have the Club? Is that still a thing?
You know, I think from what I hear, because Steve Austin was actually talking about it on a show recently, because somebody broke into his, I think it's his Ford Bronco or one of his trucks that he has.
Wow.
And like fucked up the steering column and tried to steal it, but they didn't take it. And but they really fucked it up, and like he
was it in his driveway? Where
yeah,
was it? Wow,
it was in his driveway.
Jeez, you'd figure Stone Cold would have like a fence.
No, he just lives in a regular neighborhood.
Wow,
he just lives in a regular neighborhood in Marina Del Rey. And
get yourself a fence, Steve Austin. Jeez, man, I know you got the money for it. Get a fence. get a gate. Even I've got a gate in my house.
I think he has a million cars, but they're just like a lot, not like. Special cars, like he only has like he has just like random ass trucks that he parks places and he puts covers on them.
I'd still get a gate. Like if I had his money, I would get a gate. Like you know, that's what I would do. I would get a gate, and not necessarily lock a gate, although probably good idea to lock the gate. But I would get a gate that you'd have to click in to get in and out, like with a clicker. I think that's what he should invest in.
Yeah, and then he doesn't give it. Yeah, but it cost him like a bunch of money.
Yeah, he's got the money.
No, I mean, it's the principle that somebody tried to steal his car.
I mean, you live in Los Angeles. People are going to try to break into your car. It happens. I get it. It's cost of living out here. So, yeah. And they probably know it's Steve Austin's house. Like, oh, let's break into his car. Oh, or if they didn't, they probably like looked through his car and saw like he had like some mail laying around in the car. And I was like, "What the hell? Steve Austin? This is Stone Cold Steve Austin."
Oh my god,
like,
a bunch of Steve Weisers.
Yeah, he had like his DirecTV bill in like the glove box or something. I don't know, but
probably some Tic Tacs with a skull on them.
Yeah, don't lose your don't. Come on, man, get a gate. That's what I'm trying.
Or at least
to say.
Get the club.
No, get a gate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get the gate.
Get a gate. Yeah. You're better than the club. Next time you talk to him, tell him. Be like, "Hey, dude, get a gate, man. What are you doing?"
I like that. I like what you think. It's like, because I produce this podcast for Podcast One.
I mean, I know you guys. I know you guys share texts. Just be like, "By the way, dude, invest in a gate."
Sure, we do.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, by the way, did you buy a gate yet to protect your car? Because he's talking about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
So it's not, this isn't
yeah, this
anything.
Is all, yeah, we're not going into his personal life or anything. Yeah. Yeah. But like, yeah, get a gate, man. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, let's take our break, I guess.
Yeah, we'll take a break. That's a nice gateway to a break.
Nice.
And we'll come back. We got Wrestling World, pullout poster, Lex Luger, Bret Hart. I don't even know if that's in there, but we'll find out. February 95.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, we are back. We got Wrestling World from February 95 with Razor Ramon on the cover.
Yeah, he's the big cheese on here.
Yeah.
We got all sorts of pictures on here. That's the one thing that's different about the Stately Wayne Manor mags and the After mags is that, like, Mr. Manor and his books, they really try to pack in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of pictures. You get a lot of visuals. A
lot of words on the cover, too. It's a little much.
Yeah.
But we have the bad guy, Razor Ramon.
That's right.
Belts his back where it belongs, man. Yeah, man.
Well, he just won his second Intercontinental title.
From Diesel.
Wait, is it? No, it's his third.
Would it be his third?
Because his first one was when he beat... No.
He won? No, that's his second.
No, it's third. Because he won the first one he won in the Battle Royal after he won when Shawn Michaels vacated it.
Yeah.
Second one is he won in the ladder match.
No, he was the defending champ going into the ladder match.
Was he?
Yeah, Shawn Michaels had the bogus belt.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a second. So what would be his... So he beat Diesel for the second.
Yeah.
And did he beat Jarrett for the third?
Was it Jarrett or Goldust?
No, he beat Dean Douglas for the fourth.
Oh, the fourth, yeah. Yeah. You know what? Who cares?
That's... I do. I wanted that because I feel like I should know this.
You know what? He won it a bunch of times.
He sure did.
Special feature on the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
I like how it doesn't have any captions, just The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. The New Generation, 1-2-3 Kid. But it doesn't...
But it has their pictures.
It's got their pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, like, anything about... It just has their names. An exclusive regional report.
Look, as long as the names are spelled correctly.
That's a big deal for us.
Yeah, exclusive regional reports. Yeah. Canadian Matt Update Action Color Pinups of Wrestling's Biggest Stars. Well, there's only a few in here, but...
Yeah.
Although we do get a Big Daddy Cool Diesel one right on the inside cover here, with Kevin Nash's hair in the mid 90s, man. I mean, he went on to have some great hair, but I feel like his early Diesel hair, that was
he went to the ring with his hair dry, which I like.
He did
in this photo, at least. I feel like he mixed it up. There was times where it was wet, but it was mostly dry.
We had this discussion during the peer review, myself and Joe and my wife, Jen.
Yeah, because Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Elias, they're all wet hair. And it's like, come on, man. Why is your hair wet? Even Braun Strowman's hair was wet. And it's like, try your hair, dude. What the hell?
Rating the wrestlers. So we jump right into the wrestling ratings.
Yeah, you know what? So... I'm looking at the ratings, and Johnny B. Badd is 50, and I feel that's awfully low for Johnny B. Badd. I feel he should be higher. Wasn't he like the TV champ around this time?
Let's see. This is Hogan already won the title. This is 90. So this is February 95, but I'm pretty sure this is like somewhere in like summer of 94.
Yeah. How is Blacktop Bully higher than Johnny B. Badd?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Bob Orton. Like, where's Bob Orton these days where he's higher than Johnny B. Badd?
You know what? I will, yes, 100%, because Bob Orton was only like farting around on the independent scene.
Yeah.
You know, Dick Murdoch, of course. Look at Dick Murdoch.
Dick Murdoch's still alive? Like, I figured he'd be dead by this.
He died in 95.
Yeah, okay. So he's pretty close to death.
Yeah, so this is like his last
rating. But he was higher than Johnny B. Badd.
There's also, I like how they recall Boss Man Guardian Angel here.
Nice, I like that.
Because they don't really, at this time, he was in between gimmicks, so they just said, the Mattingly Sports Bureau said, fuck it.
Yeah.
And just called him everything.
And they rated him higher than Shawn Michaels.
They sure did.
And Crush.
but not higher than Tatanka.
No.
So, yeah, because your top 10, this is your top 10.
Dr. Death Steve Williams is 4?
Well, this is taking into account Japan, because you also have Asawa, so. You have Kobashi. You got a big Japanese contingent here. Kawada? It's a friggin' party.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I want to get to this Matt Mail here. Only thing I wanted to point out, there is a letter here just from somebody who...
Is it our friend Jim Evans?
No. Did he write the letter to the... I think he was in...
It was to this magazine.
To this magazine. Okay, I don't see a Jim Evans in here. But... Oh, there's a Buffalo, New York one here, though.
Oh.
Jamie Smack Strong.
What did he have to say? Dream on.
He said, dream on, dear Matt Mail. Blah, blah, blah. Matt Mail. Something like a soap opera. He's just commenting on the drama within this.
Oh, within the letters.
So he was, not only he didn't have anything to say about wrestling, but Jamie was very heated about everybody bullshitting in here.
Oh.
About other things.
Yeah, well, okay.
I do like this letter here from Heather Kaufman of Milroy, PA. She says it's just labeled WWF Rules.
Oh.
And it's her letter basically telling another letter. It says, excuse me, Billy Parkinson, I hope you're reading this. You are wrong. Dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
About the WCW passing the WWF. I don't think so, Jack.
Well... To be continued.
TBD. But her argument is that the WWF has Bret Hart, and they don't have Luna Vachon, Alundra Blaze, and Undertaker. So, fuck you, Billy Parkinson. I hope you get the disease that's named after you.
I'm looking up Jamie Strong on Facebook right now.
Yeah, who's Jamie Strong? Jamie Smack Strong.
What Indie pro wrestler at pro wrestler. There's somebody named Jamie Strong.
In Buffalo?
I don't know. I'm clicking on him.
He looks kind of young.
Looks Alabama. Yeah, Georgia. That's not him.
No bullshit. Maybe he moved.
Maybe.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Jamie Strong. I don't know. We'll just assume he's dead.
R.I.P. Is that the time we were like R.I.P. Cheap Thunder Mountain?
There's so many Jamie Strongs that it's it could be any of them.
I need more info on this Jamie Strong here. I need to know if
you are Jamie Strong and you wrote to Wrestling World in 1995, or I guess it would have been 94, please let us know, and we will do a Where Are They Now feature.
Where Are They Now? The contributors to the Wrestling World letters page.
Yeah.
Stately Way Manor. We get his...
He's got a cool photo of him with Terry Funk.
Well, apparently he took a trip to... He took a trip to the Double Cross Ranch.
Oh.
I'd actually like to know more about that. Because we talked about our buddy's rating, or buddy's, because he's a fan of our book, or podcast?
Question mark? We have a book?
Yes. I Can Talk Books.
I Can Talk Books.
But no, he's responded to us on Twitter, and I've assumed that if we tag him in this, he might listen to this.
Yeah.
But
tell us more. I want a long diatribe tweet about your stay at the Double Cross Ranch.
Did you get to see Dennis Stamp working?
I don't think Dennis Stamp was ever invited to the Double Cross Ranch. I think he just kind of worked out like on this trampoline in his own backyard.
I thought that was on the Double Cross Ranch.
No. I think because Terry Funk just like he had his ranch. Dennis Stamp lived in Amarillo, but like not near Terry Funk.
Oh.
So Terry Funk would just be like, whatever. And then he bumps into him. He's like, hey, I'm not booked. He's like, here, I'll let you be the main event referee.
What I want to say here is Stately Way Manor does something awesome. Which actually, I just realized what his part of his genius is here in this book is that he does this whole rumors, gossip, and tidbits department.
Yeah.
But basically, it's just him doing like Tonight Show like monologue jokes about wrestling, and it's just a bunch of those, you know. And he'll occasionally bring up some other stuff, you know, some random things. But he writes the shit out of this stuff. Like he's working hard.
Yeah.
So shout out to Stately Way Manor here.
Photoed by Dr. Mike Lano.
Oh.
So maybe that's his buddy. Shout out to Dr. Mike Lano.
This picture looks like Terry got surprised.
Why is a doctor taking a photo, by the way?
Well, maybe he's Terry's doctor. Maybe
he's Stately Wayne Manor's doctor.
Oh. Terry's like, oh, I need a checkup.
What is he a doctor in? Is
I
he
need
a
checkup and see if I'm going to die soon. I can still wrestle for another 30 years.
Yeah, didn't Terry Funk just wrestle like this past weekend?
Yeah, he wrestles like every weekend.
Jesus.
No, I can't. He needs to stop.
Yeah.
So we're going through this. Yeah, so let's go through the book here. Hulkamania is still. Actually, well, before I get to Hulkamania, it's still running wild. Look at this beautiful picture here of WWE Hall of Famer
Jeff Jarrett,
2018 class.
Carrying Dink.
He's carrying Dink. It is a great action photo. This is a fantastic photo, and I like Dink because Dink. I don't know if this is if he's smiling or if that's just a paint. I think that's him smiling.
Yeah, I think he's just laughing.
But he has like this legit evil look on his face. It's actually a very disturbing picture.
Well, midgets are disturbing looking, I think. So that's probably. Jeez. Probably why he's got a disturbing look on his face.
He sure does. Well, Jeff Jarrett's like one of those ones where the light just goes directly into his mouth, so you see like his entire throat.
Oh, jeez, yeah, you can see his all his teeth.
It's a weird. It's a weird like anatomy photo. Yeah. Of somebody's like he's getting a dental exam. It's quite the photo.
Wow, he's got some nice teeth in that photo.
Well, shit, I can see his the esophagus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Hulkamania is running wild. He just jumped to WCW.
Yeah, they have the picture of him with Shaq.
It's basically a fluff piece.
Yeah, it's a fluff piece. Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Here he is, throwing
Flair. He's wrestling Ric Flair. Ric Flair's got him in an armbar. I don't know.
I always love these pictures of the ticker tape parade they gave him.
Yeah.
Because it's just the corniest shit. That they basically just got a bunch of people that were like hanging out at like Universal Studios, and they got a bunch of like people that worked at like Turner to come and like be a part of like the press conference, you know, and pretend they're reporters and ask them questions that were already approved. So, I've always been fascinated too that Hulk went from. The bandana went from saying Hulk to Hogan in WCW, and I wonder if he had that. Wonder why he did that.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I imagine it was so they wouldn't have to pay Marvel Comics royalties. But then the shirt said Hulkster, so I don't know. That kind of throws that.
Didn't they like work out some sort of agreement? Was there? I assume there was
they
some
had
sort of
every time they said Hulk Hogan, they had to pay Marvel Comics. Royalties.
Really?
So anything that had Hulk Hogan on the merchandise, Marvel Comics got a cut of it.
Oh.
So
Turner figured it out.
So yeah, maybe that's why it said Hogan, but like I said, the t-shirt said Hulkster, so I'm sure that had to go
it's
to
true.
Marvel. So I don't know. Who knows? But I liked it. It was different.
It was different.
Yeah.
So I want to point out here we have an article, we have the signature here. It's like a Matt this and that. Which basically talks about other wrestling publications, including The Observer and such. But they have a little article in here about a guy named GQ John Rodeo.
I love it. I love his shirt. It's awesome.
So Johnny Rodeo, by the way, a scrappy manager in the International Wrestling Federation out in the Northeast. He has IWF heavyweight pinking. I think it's supposed to be something else. Terrorizing.
Oh.
So this dude here used to manage not only Triple H, but also North American titleist Perry Saturn.
Wow.
So he manages that, and he also managed the services in the IWF for Honky Tonk Man, Barbarian, and Warlord. So
this guy's been around.
This guy, I wonder if we ever got to meet Triple H, and if I was like, do you know who this dude is, and tell us stories about him.
Yeah, so I want to know more about GQ John Rodeo.
Johnny Rodeo. I want to know, and you could write to him still. You can still write to the IWF in Reading, Massachusetts.
Wow. You know who might know who he is? Is Ted Arcidi.
Ted Arcidi? Ted Arcidi doesn't know him.
No.
I'm pretty sure. I think Ted Arcidi, Ted Arcidi, as far as I would imagine, knows nothing about anything in wrestling that Triple H has done outside of the fact that he introduced or set the contacts in motion for Triple H to meet Killer Kowalski.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, because Ted has been, outside of like the appearances he's done in recent years, which are very scattered, he doesn't have much involved with wrestling at all.
Yeah.
So I haven't talked to Ted in a while because I did that movie with him. I should find out how he's doing.
Yeah, so. Get him on the horn.
We should get him on the horn. I feel like he would have he's got some stories. He's got some stories.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I like Ted
Arcidi. Ted Arcidi shoot interview would be fun because I want to hear all about his action figure.
What do you want to know about it?
Just like, when you saw yourself in an LJN action figure, what was the first thoughts in your mind? What did you buy with the royalty money? Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that. Like, that must have been cool as hell. Like, I don't want a stupid Mattel figure. I would love to have an LJN figure myself.
Yeah. I want a big rubber doll.
Yeah. Where the paint wears off while I'm wrestling. Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing when you knew the true, the you knew that some, okay. Whenever you would go and look for LJN figures, you can never find them that don't look beat to shit. And
yeah.
You know, but there's something about that makes it better.
Yeah.
When you find like a King Kong Bundy that has like all the black off of it.
You know he's been in some battles.
You know he's been thrown at people because that King Kong Bundy is lethal.
Yeah, that is a heavy figure.
That is a heavy figure.
Yeah. That one was really heavy.
And
you
could tell that people had, you could tell that they were used when they got all the paint from all the other figures on them. Because you're just basically smashing them together. So, good times. We have a tag team article here. I don't know much to say here other than just
where have all the good teams gone? But then they hype up these teams that are like, oh, the Head Shrinkers are on the lookout for the Heavenly Bodies. They're the sleeper team. So it's like, all right, are there good teams gone or are these teams good? What are you trying to say in this article? That's what confused me about this.
Well, they also pump up the Steiners and the Legion of Doom. At this point, like neither of those teams are.
Yeah, they're like in Japan right now.
Yeah, like they're not really around.
Yeah.
So.
And then you got the Smoking Guns. I like the Harlem Heat, formerly known as Ebony Express.
That's right.
The Heat could be the WCW sleeper. And yeah, they were.
Turns out they were.
Yeah.
Turns out they did pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot about that.
You got the Nasty Boys.
Well, this is the height, also, this is the height of Pretty Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Paul Roma and Paul Orndorff, which I would have rather them just been called the Pauls. I like that as a better name than Pretty Wonderful. Just be like, here come the Pauls. And then you got Paul Roma and Paul Orndorff, and everyone would know.
I would have preferred the Paul Express.
The Paul Express is pretty good.
The Paul Connection.
Yeah.
The Paul Bears.
Paul Squared.
Oh man. How was that never a thing? You should.
Yeah.
Too bad you squished.
Pretty Wonderful. Stupid.
How did you not figure that out when you were doing VCWs? Guys, we should get two guys named them Paul and just have them Paul Squared. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant thing, and I think we need to get... I don't know. We got Triple H. Actually, that would be great if Triple H all of a sudden is just like, I'm no longer Triple H. I'm just Paul, and we're gonna get... who was another wrestler named Paul? Paul White, right?
Yeah.
And him and Triple H just team up, and they're Paul Squared, and they have matching outfits that just say P2 on the back. And that's how Triple H ends his career, just teaming with Paul White as Paul Squared.
That's how Paul White would end his career, too. Like, let's go out on a bang. Paul Squared, tag champs.
If I could somehow beam an idea into Triple H's head that he has to do, it would be that. And he could probably get it done. He'd be like, hey, Vince, let's do Paul Squared. We can get me and Big Show, and we can be Paul Squared. And we'll go out and win the tag titles.
And Vince is just like, I'm busy with the XFL. Do whatever the hell you want, Triple H.
And it would, I think that's what's going to happen. When the XFL starts, Paul Squared will take over the tag division. I like this idea. I'm psyched.
Would the Big Show wear a singlet with the P? Or?
Yeah, he's wearing a singlet.
Okay, he's wearing a singlet.
They're white singlets with the green peas.
Okay.
And the squared. And Triple H is wearing the trunks. And then he comes out and he has a... I don't know. I'm just picturing white singlets and green letters.
Okay.
I don't know why. But that's where I'm going with this. Here's a weird article.
Gorbachev's Revenge, and it's about Nikolai Volkov.
It's about Nikolai Volkov falling on hard times in the 1994 WWF.
Yeah.
And this is written by a British man known as Bartholomew C. Appleyard III.
The fact that there's two other guys named Bartholomew C. Appleyard, and that kind of makes me wonder about the legitimacy of this person actually existing.
I wanted to know more about this.
But then, like, we come to find out that Eddie Elner is a real person.
I just found that. Well, yeah, because Stu Sachs, who apparently listens to our show, and we're very excited for that. He does.
Yeah.
And he sent me a DM, and he's like, "You guys didn't think Eddie Elner was real?" I was like, "No, I didn't. No, I seriously didn't.
I still don't think he's real. I get it. Like, you sent me his profile, but
he sent me a link. Yeah. And he's like, "Hey, here's this Eddie Elner.
This is Eddie Elner." It's like, okay, that's not this Eddie Elner, or that guy's not it.
A Eddie Elner. Yeah. I don't know if it is the Eddie Elner.
But according to Stu Sachs, Eddie Elner was a real person. I'm still finding it hard to believe, but that's just. I wonder if Liz Hunter is a real person.
Liz Hunter. We'll just leave that alone.
And then, but I'm going to say Bartholomew C. Appleyard III is not a real person.
No.
But then we'll probably get a DM from Stately Wayne Manor saying, "Here's this guy's yoga profile."
Stately, I would like for you to tell me, I'd like to, if you could tell us how you met Mr. Appleyard.
Yeah.
And that would be very, you know, what his deal is. What else has he written?
Yeah.
Not just in wrestling. I have a feeling that he's very prolific, yet I have never heard of him.
There's three of them.
Yes, he's had a legacy.
Unless he's had a kid. Maybe there's a fourth by now. Who knows?
Oh, man.
I want to know the Appleyard family tree. Like, why they're all named Bartholomew C. What does the C stand for? I want to know that. Why does he go by Bartholomew and not Bart?
Actually, if it was, I think it would be better if he just went by BC Appleyard.
Yeah. The third. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, this is a weird article because it's, this guy Bartholomew here talking about the British royalty and how, they respect wrestlers. I think I'm skipping over some stuff here, but it leads into how Gorbachev was a big fan of Nikolai Volkov, and then he wasn't after Gorbachev. I don't know what's going on here, but then basically it's just like, yeah, Gorbachev kind of disowned or forgotten about Nikolai Volkov, and now he's having hard times and he's living in a box and he's wrestling with scent signs on his shirt. I always found that very strange to be in the WWF at that time when they were like, "Hey, Nikolai Volkov, we're gonna bring you back and you're just gonna," like, they made it a big deal that he was back to be a part of some angles and stuff like that. And it just felt like it was always from another. Nikolai Volkov always felt like he's from another era.
When you Google Bartholomew Appleyard, somebody shows up. It's like a genealogy family tree of a gentleman named Bartholomew Appleyard who lived from 1335 to 1412. Mm. That's the first thing that shows up. History of the Parliament Online. And then it shows Bartholomew Appleyard. So there, I guess Bartholomew Appleyard was somebody of British, not royalty, but he was up there in like the higher circles of Great Britain.
I see.
And this guy's the third.
So with regard to this article, it's kind of like, okay, so Appleyard, I think, is taken to umbrage to something Stately Wayne Manor has said. So it's like somehow, so Stately gave this guy carte blanche to write a gigantic missive about Nikolai Volkov. Maybe I'm missing out here. I'm not, because it's a pretty dense article. But those pictures are great.
Mm-hmm.
You have Nikolai Volkov. This is clearly an early picture of Nikolai Volkov dressed in a, what I could best be described as, I've seen these. They're called spirit hoods.
Oh, okay.
Where they're basically like furry hats.
Yeah.
And also shawls connected. I feel this is connected. Maybe it's not.
Wow.
But it's a white one, and it's Nikolai Volkov. That's what he wore to the ring. And it's just like he's wearing some native clothing. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But he's not wearing any other clothes. No, he's wearing that and his shorts.
I think they're referring to the trunks as the native clothing. So 1-2-3 kid. It's basically a fluff piece for the kid. You know, he just striking out on his own right now.
I mean, yeah,
you know, we're already past him beating Razor, and he's already had a really competitive match with Bret Hart on Raw, which I've never seen, but I've heard it's very good.
That's a good match. Yeah, I'm surprised you've never seen it.
It's one of those things where it's like I wasn't really watching Raw back then, and I know I have access to it, but it's from what I understand, it's very good. So, and you were just kind of going through his decree thing. I always remembered him from like when he showed up on Raw. I always remembered him as the guy from GWF.
Yeah, I remember that. And then, like, he was in WWF for a little while as a jobber.
Well, that's when he first started. Yeah.
And they gave him a different name every week. Like, the week he beat Razor Ramon, he was just known as the Kid.
Yeah.
But he wrestled as the Lightning Kid and as the Kamikaze Kid.
Well, he used to wear the Lightning Kid trunk shirt. He used to have the blue Lightning Kid outfit and stuff. Yeah.
But he was just the Kid, and then he became the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah, I used to pay attention to him in Global, because I remember, I used to watch a shit ton of Global back when it first started.
Yeah, Global was fun.
I really wish they would just figure out how to get that stuff up, because I missed that. I know there's a few of those matches you can have access to now, but I need all of it.
So do I.
Yeah.
Because I liked watching Global after school.
Yeah.
On the afternoons at like 4 o'clock. It was fun. I didn't watch it every day, but I definitely watched it enough.
Shawn Michaels, the cocky kid of wrestling. We're just talking about Shawn Michaels here doing
Shawn Michaels things. It's just a bunch of photos of him like in the ring, not even wrestling, just him in his clothes. And
this is the longest Shawn Michaels article I think I've ever seen in my life. So here's like the piece of the resistance.
Yeah, by Jose Padua.
Jose Padua wrote an article about being on a night on the town with Razor Ramon.
And it's a great article. It was a great night, it sounds like. I wish I was out this night.
So Razor Ramon, he won the the Intercontinental title, and he was like, all right, well, let's go. And I like this thing here. It says, nowadays, it's just as common for hip 20-somethings to identify themselves by purchasing a block of tickets to a Pearl Jam concert as it is for them to sport a Razor Ramon tee complete with paint stains and to strategically placed rips in the cloth.
Well, okay. I never ripped my Razor Ramon t-shirts. I had to. They were nice. I never ripped them.
Are we talking about the one that had the blue and gold one? Or not the blue, the yellow, the
I had
white
that
and gold one with his big face on
Yeah,
it?
That one I had.
The one that how Walter Payton wore to WrestleMania at the SummerSlam?
I had that shirt, and then I had another Razor Ramon shirt. And I never ripped them or put paint stains on them.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, that would never happen. No, you definitely, those are fashion items.
I remember I wore that Razor Ramon shirt on my 12th birthday to Fantasy Island, and some girl said I was cute and chased me around the park.
Chased you?
Chased me around the park.
Oh man!
Yeah,
did she chase you into the Wild West stunt show?
No, she You know how I ditched her? You remember how Fantasy Island had like that movie theater?
Okay,
and you'd like stand there, and it would feel like you're on a roller coaster and stuff. That's how I ditched her. I went into that.
Oh, I was gonna say I thought you dumped into Devil's Hole.
No, because I didn't want any part of her or her crew, her posse.
Did you ever go into Devil's Hole?
No, I never rode Devil's Hole.
I never did either, and I always heard that it was a thing where because it always terrified me as a kid, and it probably wouldn't terrify me now, but it terrified me as a kid as a thing where it's like you went in it and occasionally people would fall off and die.
Yeah.
And that's what I was told, and I believed it.
I went in because there was a room where you could actually watch. I remember watching people in Devil's Hole.
Oh, really?
I didn't actually ride it.
I never got a chance to do that. I was too young.
Oh, no. Yeah, you could go in.
Watch it. I think it was...
Yeah, so you could watch it, and you could watch people in the Devil's Hole.
Was Devil's Hole just like one of those ones that spun around and people got stuck to the...
It spun around. You didn't get strapped in or whatever, because the centripetal force of the Devil's Hole ride made you stick to the wall.
Yeah, I didn't like
that. Nowadays, that would never exist. Like, that ride would just not happen because of safety reasons and what have you. But, like, that was...
Really? They don't do those anymore?
No, I can't imagine they do.
They didn't have those at the fair?
No, I can't imagine they have those anymore.
Those things... Well, first of all, let's put it this way. You doing those things, you'll throw the fuck up.
Yeah.
I did went on one of those at some point when I was, like a 12 or something like that. And I went in one, and they... it was the Gravitron one at the Erie County Fair. And they were playing Alice Cooper's School's Out while I was in it. And it was one where they closed the fucking thing up. Like, you're in a space pod with a bunch of strangers as it spins. It was closed.
Yeah.
Man, Yeah, no, I remember Devil's Hole. I remember Devil's Hole being gigantic, though.
Yeah, it was a big, big, big barn. But like when you went in the inside, it was an actual just ride inside of a barn.
Oh, see, I thought it was you went into the barn and the whole building spun, and then occasionally you fall off into the hole and you died.
It was just a ride inside of the barn.
I have a lot of skewed memories of Devil's Hole.
Yeah,
I to be honest, I'm disappointed that I never got to debunk them.
Yeah,
but sadly. Razor Ramon does not go into Devil's Hole.
No, he went to a Mexican restaurant.
Yes.
Now, there was a nicer restaurant, but he went to the cheap one because they have good food there, according to him.
He knows how to keep it real.
Yeah.
And he went to... But he thinks about it, he goes to a Razor Ramon. He goes to a Mexican restaurant where they give you the exact address on Amsterdam and 89th Street in Manhattan.
So if it's still there... Go there.
You know what? We should do a Google Maps search and see if that exists.
89th and Amsterdam, Manhattan, New York. I will look it up.
89th and Amsterdam Avenue. So basically, he goes to this restaurant and he sits. He's there. Apparently, so his entourage. It says, among his entourage this evening are a couple of kids sporting the grunge look, some pals from the old neighborhood, and a former centerfold model named Lisa. So he's hanging out with Pearl Jam. He's hanging out with the Anti-Street Gang and Lisa.
Lisa.
Lisa of the Cult Jam.
No, I think it's just Lisa.
Oh. So he orders food, and everybody orders a bunch of Mexican food. And he's like, yo, you know what? I want some fried chicken. And basically, because he's Razor Ramon, he gets a bunch of fried chicken.
Yeah.
And they even describe how he eats the fried chicken, how he just takes a drumstick and just swallows it, and then he doesn't have any table manners. So apparently this is a comment on how he eats. So he doesn't eat, he just wipes his mouth with his hand and he says, oh, anybody want to eat some chicken? It's good.
Well, I see something that could be a Mexican restaurant. It could also be something else. I don't know. So.
Yeah. So is there anything there?
Yeah, there's it's a building with a blue awning.
Oh, that must be it.
Yeah.
The blue awning restaurant.
But, like, I get no reception in here. Let's see what this is. It's like, I don't know. It's something.
Yeah. So then he heads... So since Razor Ramon keeps it real, he doesn't go to a club, but he goes to a poetry slam.
Yeah.
He goes to a poetry slam, and long story short, he just watches a bunch of poets, and we get a lot of very... descriptive.
It's a Sherwin Williams paints.
Oh, well, maybe what? Maybe you know.
There's another place across the street that could be a restaurant too.
Oh, okay.
This is, you know, what's beautiful about an intersection. There's four corners, so the possibilities. So
we have four different chances. We have a one out of four chance of finding this restaurant.
That one is the New York Kids Club.
Okay,
so that is not it.
See, the good thing about these articles, and actually, I'll say about the Wrestling World articles, is that they like to pimp actual places,
yeah,
and they give addresses to these places,
yeah,
so you can do like a little walking tour of this article,
yeah,
like you can find out like all these places, and if they still exist, you can still go there, or you can go to where they once were.
Yeah, I don't think this Mexican place exists.
Oh, that's a bummer.
All right, I'm done looking for it.
So yeah, he watches a poetry slam. And a guy named Bob in a pork pie hat, a polka dot shirt, and baggy black trousers. And he comes up and he starts randomly doing some rap poetry. And Razor Ramon, for some reason, takes offense to this guy doing rap poetry.
I think he refers to him as a gringo, too.
Does he call him a gringo?
Yeah, I think he calls him a gringo in the article somewhere.
He says he's acting like he's down, but he's not. He's just a poser like Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, somebody needs to shut. Yeah, he's like, yeah, but someone needs to make this gringo shut up. And apparently he steps to this dude. So he takes umbrage at a poetry slam, which...
And then they mention Dos Equis.
Dos Equis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's drinking Dos Equis, watching poetry.
Yeah.
See, right here, that's the actual picture. Inspired by the work of Ron Colm and Carl Watson, Razor tries his hand at writing some poetry. Because here he is with a pen in his hand.
Oh, okay.
He is actually
writing poetry.
I Scott Hall needs to validate this. So
Scott Hall has been on so many adventures on this podcast. Like he's gone to a bank. He's had poetry jams. What else has he done? I feel like Scott Hall. Oh, he had to fight for his right to party.
He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scott Hall. He's just a man of many different wild stories.
I feel like we could write some decent fan fiction for Scott Hall just based on his adventures on our podcast.
Yeah. And this is just another one. Like, this is his third adventure. We've only been doing this podcast for a year now, and he's already been on three adventures. That's crazy.
He is quite possibly the most prolific wrestling personality in our show's history.
The fighting for his right to party was nothing compared to going to a poetry jam, I think.
And almost starting a fight.
Yeah.
He almost fought a dude at a poetry jam. So
Scott Hall, I can't wait to see your next adventure. As it comes up organically as we discuss a podcast, like it just comes up, and when it happens, it just makes me so happy.
Here's what I want. I want to actually do a wrestling – I want there to be a path in WWE 2K19 – where you have to be Scott Hall and you have to wrestle in these different venues, yeah, in these different situations. Actually, I just want the special Scott Hall edition, and I want it to come with Scott Hall poems.
Yeah. Scott Hall at the bank, then he wrestles Colonel DeBeers, and you have to beat Colonel DeBeers and get back to the bank and redeposit your money before the bank closes.
Yes.
That's the first one. Scott Hall fighting for his right to party in Florida against all those goons that we named. That's the second one. Then Scott Hall at a poetry jam is the third one.
Yes, I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Canadian wrestling news. Northwest Canadian wrestling news is very specific. I do want to point out they're talking about the PCCW, which is a promotion up in Canada. And apparently they featured a match between Tito Santana and Rick Martel. They took their feud from six years prior, and they took it to Canada.
Well, they had to finish. They never had any closure.
They had like one blow-off match, but it never really felt like a blow-off match.
I remember like later on in a Royal Rumble, it might have been 92, Rick Martel already has the model, and Tito Santana already has El Matador. We're like trading blows in a Royal Rumble, and they had mentioned their previous feud. But other than that, there was never a big blow-off.
No, that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
There was also something in here that I saw that somebody, maybe it was, no, it was just that. It was that was quite fascinating, though, about Rick Martel. Yeah, the dream is still alive in northwestern Canada, so get on it. So here's another one of my favorite parts of this book, the various reports of across the country. Of all these different matches, you know, all the different things, but then they never feel like they're really specific. They just kind of touch on things. This particular one, the Eastern report, only talks about. It doesn't really talk about wrestling at all. It only talks about this club opening it talks about this club opening that happened in New York, where Expo. A club is located on 124th West 43rd Street.
Wow.
So you can go here. Again, you can take your trips. The club opened and wrestling stars and celebrities were abound. We had Ken Wall, who played Wise. Remember the show Wise Guy?
No.
Okay. Well, he was there.
Wow.
You also had Mickey Rourke was there. This is obviously pre-Eddie, well, post-Barfly, post-9.5 weeks, but, you know, also post Harvey Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Oh.
So.
None of these I've seen.
You never seen Harvey Davidson and the Marlboro Man?
No, I can't say that I have.
I remember seeing it once. And Big John Studd is in it.
Oh.
He makes a thing. Also, well, here's the point. So it not only was Hulk Hogan there, because Hulk Hogan showed up there, but so was Dustin Rhodes. He was talking to the New York Jets about attending a WCW card at the Meadowlands. And WWF champion Bret Hart was there. Hart seemed genuinely excited when Cher walked into Expo. Quote, "I love her music and I love her movies," Hart explained. So.
Wait a minute. So Bret Hart is watching Cher movies.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he really likes Moonstruck.
That's the only Cher movie I can think of is Moonstruck. I couldn't name another one.
The Witches of Eastwick.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Okay, so there's three Cher movies. There's Witches of Eastwick, there's Silkwood, and then there's Moonstruck. Mermaids.
I've never seen
Mermaids.
I've never seen any of them. Oh.
I just watched Moonstruck.
She was also in that movie with... she's in a movie pretty recently, within the last 10 years, where she played the madam of a brothel house.
Moulin Rouge.
No, it wasn't Moulin Rouge. Burlesque. Yeah, it was Burlesque.
Oh, that's right. I saw. Yeah, that's right. Jen and I, we did see that in the Shitball Cheap Theater in the Valley.
Oh, in North Hollywood?
No. No, it's in North Hollywood. That's right.
The one in Bellingham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still around?
Yeah, I think so.
You can get a dollar hot dog there from a drawer.
Sure can.
It's not a good idea.
I've had it.
I've had a few.
I lived to tell about it.
Yeah, so have I. I think that was
it was like $2 Tuesdays and dollar hot dogs on Tuesdays. Yeah, it was awesome.
I once went to see the remake of The Thing there, and I had a whole box of Red Mike and Ikes, and some fucking asshole fucking kicked it. And I was on because I snuck them in, and he kicked them, and they went everywhere. And I was tempted to eat them off the ground because I just had a full box, but I didn't.
Did you eat any of them off the ground?
No. But I wanted to.
I don't know why you wouldn't. It's a 5-second rule. Get as many as you can in 5 seconds.
Well, I couldn't see anything. The movie was dark.
Oh, what movie was it?
The Thing.
Oh, it was The Thing.
The remake of The Thing, which I think I was the only person that saw it. I also saw, at that theater.
Well, I liked the remake of The Thing. That was an excellent movie.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I, you know what? I have to go back and watch the original one again.
I liked it, and watch them both back to back. It's awesome. Or no, watch the original, the remake first, and then watch the original because that's the order they go in. But yeah,
that's true. That's right. It's a prequel. It's not really a remake. Yeah, it's a prequel
because it ends with the dog running away, and that's then the beginning of the movie is the dog running towards the people.
Mm, okay.
Yeah,
maybe I have to find.
My god! Yeah, I love that movie. I'm gonna watch it tonight. I think.
Is it streaming?
I don't know. It's got to be somewhere. It's such an old movie now. Who gives a shit about it?
Yeah, I know. It was like, 2011?
Yeah.
I also saw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter at that theater.
Another okay movie. That movie was for what it was. I loved Harriet Tubman in that movie. That was a great movie.
I like Joe giving passes to all these 2010, 2011 random movies.
That movie's fine with me.
How do you feel about 30 Minutes or Less? Did you see that one?
Oh, with
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
As the pizza delivery man?
That's another movie I got no problem with. That movie was okay. I think I saw that in that theater. Yeah, I think I saw it there.
Also, I think we saw, and I will give this one a shout out, 21 Jump Street.
That movie was pretty good as well. I saw that.
And 22 Jump Street is both.
I didn't see 22, but I saw 21 Jump Street at the movie theater in Northridge. That movie was funny. I enjoyed that movie.
I agree. It was very good.
Yeah, shout out to 21 Jump Street and a skinny Jonah Hill.
Skinny? Oh, that's right, because that was his brief time when he was thin, and now he's kind of back.
He's fit again. Now is he's fit? Yeah.
I feel like he fluctuates anytime I see him, but I don't see him all the time.
No, he's like me, man. We struggle. Right now I'm thinner, and he's really fit, and then a couple of years from now I'll probably be fat, and he'll be fat. So...
Well, good for Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill's awesome.
Yeah.
I like Jonah Hill. So this club is hopping. I mean, really, and literally, that is the majority of this article, to the point where Andre Agassi shows up. Daryl Hannah shows up, and apparently she strikes up a conversation with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I wonder what that was about.
She said Hulk Hogan says she's a nice lady. She told me that she watched Thunder in Paradise.
Oh. I think that's a lie.
I think so.
I think that's a lie. I could see her bugging him for a role on Thunder in Paradise. I could see that, but I don't think she actually watched it.
Yeah, I don't think she watched it.
Because she wasn't really working much in 95.
Also here at the party were Christopher Walken, Gary Busey, Frank Stallone, a bunch of models, including Kate Moss, a 1995 Kate Moss. That's pretty good. Also, music from the music world, Tommy Lee, Stuttering John, James Hetfield.
Oh, James Hetfield.
Hetfield. And, oh, check this one out. Maybe this will figure it out. Glam rock band Lovemaker. Lovemaker is currently composing new theme music for several WWF wrestlers.
Sure they were.
I bet you couldn't find anything about the band Lovemaker.
Good thing I didn't turn my phone off today for this podcast. Normally we do.
Yeah, well, we should.
But I've been Googling a lot during this.
There's so much to be Googling. Yeah. This is a very Googleable book because a lot of people in here that maybe if you were not alive in the mid, alive when we were alive, or if weren't cognizant, you wouldn't have no idea what any of this stuff is.
There is a band called the Love Makers. They're an electro pop band. They were formed in 2002.
Love Maker glam metal. You should look that up.
Okay.
See if that happens. Yeah. So we got that. We have an article about a psychic, which apparently
Love Maker were a glam rock band.
There we go.
With some punk influences in New York, and they formed in the early 90s.
So they're a legit band.
They were there.
Were they doing WWE stuff?
That is a good question. Glam rock, yeah. Tracks, Bubblegum Lover, Moving On, Love in NYC, yeah.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah.
That's a 94 glam band if I ever seen one.
Wow, yeah. They kind of look like Kiss and Drag. Yeah. Shout out to Lovemaker. It doesn't say that they did WWF theme music, but...
They certainly did not.
You never know. They might have recorded a song for WWF.
I think they did Duke the Dumpster Drosy's theme.
They might have. I don't think he had a glam rock... I'm trying to think of like who in that era had a glam rock theme. Man Mountain Rock, but he did his own theme because he came out and played his guitar. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, and it's
certainly I don't think anybody else was doing the music except for Jim Johnston.
Yeah, so R.I.P. Jim Johnston's WWF career.
I was gonna say, did he die at some point?
They just got rid of him.
I know,
because they let those other jabronis do all the theme music. Now sucks. By the way, it just sounds like all this generic like what regular music. Like when Jim Johnston was doing WWF theme music, it just sounded different. Every song sounded like it was catered to that wrestler.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays. Other than the Glorious song, it just sounds like generic music from the radio. Like, oh, this is Asuka's song. It doesn't sound like it belongs to Asuka. It just sounds like a generic song.
It sounds like a song that gave to Asuka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing about Jim Johnston that was great, because if you remember Beyond the Mat, where he's like, this is how I wrote Vader's theme. He's like, Vader walks. He's like, dun-dun-dun. He's like,
yeah.
Dun-dun-dun. And it makes total sense.
Yeah.
That he would do that.
Yeah, so. The music today in wrestling sucks. Like AJ Styles' theme is just doesn't sound like anything like that belongs to AJ Styles. Yeah, Seth Rollins is actually okay. Trying to think who else has he done. Roman Reigns is just the Shield music, which is a really cool song. But I think of the Shield. I don't think of Roman Reigns when I hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the theme music today, it all sucks.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
I don't even
know their names.
Seafoss.
Yeah, fuck them. Bring back Jim Johnston. Get rid of Seafoss, whatever. I don't give a shit. Seabreeze. Your music sucks. Except for Glorious. I'll give you credit on that. That's a good song.
Yeah. So we also talk here in the Eastern Report, mind you, this is about wrestling. Ron Bard, the psychic who has been used by police departments to help solve murders. Apparently he was a part of a charity event which involved Cactus Jack, Kevin Sullivan, the Bushwhackers, and Stunning Steve Austin, who were all impressed by Bard and his psychic readings. I think I have something to talk to Steve about. I got a lot. This report in itself, there's way too much in here to unpack. Like, okay, here's another one here. Temptress Sky London has something up her sleeve. The host of the Cupid Network's primetime home shopping for adults is rumored to be moving to a major television position with Turner Broadcasting. Does that mean she might be on WCW telecasts? I love gorgeous men, said Sky, and I could see myself as a manager for WCW, but the men I'd manage would have to be handsome.
That's probably why they never put her on WCW. She sounds like a diva.
She sounds like a handful.
Yeah.
Also here, and this actually, I actually do believe, I feel like might be true. It probably is true. Johnny Polo and Native America Tatanka, who have sometimes been enemies, were seen at scores at the Gentleman's Club in New York City.
That was probably true.
And they did interview Tatanka as he came out, apparently as he came out of the club. He said, "We have buried the hatchet," said Tatanka, not realizing how funny that remark was. The two were staying in the club all night until 4 a.m. closing time. I do not know if this is true.
Was Tatanka a heel by then, or when did he turn on Lex Luger?
SummerSlam.
Yeah, but was it of 94?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
They,
so yeah,
yeah, they must have buried the hatchet.
But I didn't realize that Raven was still around there. I thought he was. Eh, no, it makes about. I mean, I can't remember if he was around in 94-ish. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, he must have just left right after this was seen.
I love how I'm trying to validate this wrestling, this supposed wrestling story that is 100% true, but not true.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in all these here. Just yeah. A lot of.
We got a Southern Report.
Southern Report, which for some reason covers. It just randomly says that.
I love this guy.
Well, there's a few things in here. So randomly talks about the Bushwhackers being popular.
Yeah, they are.
Here they are. See, there's a picture. They're being popular in the South. Also, for some reason, there's just a random dig at Eddie Mansfield here. Do you remember Eddie Mansfield?
I don't remember him, but so he probably deserved the dig.
Eddie Mansfield was the guy on the 2020...
Oh yeah, that's
the guy
right.
Who was doing
yeah,
the gigging and the stuff
John,
like that.
The John Stossel, he was wrestling.
He was the non David Schultz
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
So basically, and somebody was asking him if they could find tapes of how to find a tape of Eddie Mansfield, and they say no problem here. Just find Eddie Mansfield. I can guarantee you that nobody on earth has more tapes and autographed pictures of himself than this guy. So. There you go.
It's probably true.
But so this picture here.
Mean Mark Ash. Look at this guy.
So this is a pasty dude with a mullet and sunglasses.
How did he make it into this magazine? Stately Wayne Manor. I need to know. I'm going to tweet a photo. I'm going to tweet this right now before I forget.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, you should tweet it at him.
How did this guy.
Well, there's a bit of a story here.
Yeah, I don't care for the story.
It's true. You know what? Because the story was probably made up. But basically, they go on to basically tell the person that writes this, Mr. Prater, Jerry Prater, who apparently was the NWA's lead photographer for some 20 years. I'm certain that's true. And I'm not being facetious. It probably is true. He just gives a rundown of all these things that this Mean Mark Ash does wrong. Now, in this photo, naming specifically two backgrounds, he's got the grass and the brick wall. And also has vertical stripes on his outfit, which vertical striped outfits should be only reserved for people such as Virgil.
That's it.
Virgil is the only one that could wear vertical striped outfits, even though Scott Steiner did pull off a few vertical striped outfits. And so does Rick a few times. But for the most part, just Virgil. So... moving on, there's this picture here of Dustin Rhodes. And so this is I don't know what's going on with this background. It looks like it's glitching. Do you see this?
Yeah, it's like...
Is that Beach Brawl?
Yeah, that's Bash at the Beach. So I think what this is a Jumbotron with his entrance on it. And, it's probably caught in a dissolve or something like, or in a transition. That's probably what's going on.
Because you see, like, Arn Anderson and Dustin Rhodes. Yeah. You see all these articles here. Yeah. Or these things here.
I think that's what's going on. There's a Jumbotron, and it's like, you're just seeing it in, like, mid, like, it's an interlaced picture, and the photo is just capturing it, like, during a mid interlace.
Well, what's weird is it looks like a stock ticker.
Yeah.
So
kinda
it's kind of strange. So as you're looking up, you're tweeting this, we're moving on here with the Midlands Report, which randomly has a picture. It refers to the Honky Tonk Man, but tell me, is this not a picture of what appears to me be Big John Studd wrestling Jerry Lawler?
It does, but I see guitars. It leads me to believe that's the Honky Tonk Man.
So when the hell did this...
Oh, that is the Honky Tonk Man.
Well, that's what it says, but it does look like Honky Tonk Man. His face doesn't look like it.
It looks... Yeah, no, I think it does. And don't forget, him and Jerry Lawler were first cousins.
Okay, you know what?
So that's probably why it kind of looks like
Jerry Lawler. Oh, you know what? I do see the singlet.
Yeah.
It's
definitely the Honky Tonk Man, but yeah, it does look like Jerry Lawler. I don't remember John Studd ever being in WCW.
Well, he probably wasn't. And this is probably one of his last matches on the Independence.
Probably one of his last matches on Earth. He probably died much...
He died in 95.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, R.I.P. John Studd. So, there's a lot going on here. Talking about all these different events going on with all these wrestlers coming to WCW and... There's not as much to unpack here as the other article, but we do. Yeah, then we get to the. Oh, shit. I forgot. We got the Western Report. The Western Report talks about matches in the California here with the AIWA.
Oh.
And we have a lot of people getting put over here for
I don't like wrestling organizations. They have four syllables.
Yeah, that's awkward.
I've decided I don't like it.
And we have some great pictures here of the the West Coast wrestling scene. You have one of the most sought after wrestlers, Don Juan.
Don Juan is an arrogant but talented wrestler currently plying his trade on the West Coast. And you have Tor Johnson.
No, that's not Tor Johnson. That's Vern Langdon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tor Johnson ? George Steele ? No, it's Hollywood Baldy Vern Langdon. Kind of does look like Tor Johnson and George Steele.
And also another guy here, Mr. Outrageous over here, who was, I feel like we've referenced him in another
issue. I feel like he was in like California Championship Wrestling videos on YouTube.
Yeah. But can you imagine that? Because here's the thing, wrestling nowadays, no, like nobody looks like this.
No. It's unfortunate.
Like nobody looks like this at all. Like they just all look like muscular dudes that tan a lot. Like these dudes don't look like anybody. They just look like 1990 guys from 1995 or shit about 1985.
Yeah, they look more like 80s guys than the 90s guys, but here they are in the 90s.
This is when I'm going for Wrestling World, when I'm looking for articles about random people, random wrestlers, I'm looking for this stuff.
Yeah,
this is what I'm coming for.
That's what I want to see.
Also want to point out, and I brought this up to you, shout out to JT Lightning getting a mention.
Oh, yeah, JT Lightning getting a mention. RIP JT Lightning, one of the nicest guys I ever was privileged to meet. And it's too bad what happened to him. But
he got like sick, right?
Yeah, he had cancer.
Oh, that
yeah.
sucks.
But he was a good guy. I only met him on a few occasions because we did, you know, we brought Cleveland guys in, and I got to go to Cleveland once and be at one of the Cleveland All Pro Wrestling shows. Just a good guy, just too bad. One of the nice guys. Yeah.
So now we finally wrap up with the Caribbean Report. And the Caribbean Report, man, there's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah.
First of all, we got a top 10.
You have Curtis Mr. Hughes. Hughes is in one of the photos.
Yeah, Mr. Hughes. You got another guy, Hurricane Castillo, doing vertical stripes. He shouldn't have done that, but here he is. He should have known those are Virgil's vertical stripes. You got like a fire match here. It looks like it looks like Eddie Gilbert being beat up. You got Abdul the Butcher. You got the Invader. You got some random Sheik.
The top 10, Abdul the Butcher number one. That's where he should be.
So this is an interesting rest of the top. Yeah. So as of 19, I feel as of summer 94 in the Caribbean, this is your top 10. You got Abdul the Butcher, the Warlord, Terry Funk, the Invader, Damian Demento, Hercules Ayala, Hurricane Castillo, Ronnie Garvin, Coco Beware, and Johnny Rich.
Yeah, it's an interesting top 10. The Warlord being number two is crazy.
You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like if I were to do like a Caribbean series of matches in 2K18, it would just be like a bunch. It would just be these guys.
Yeah.
Like it would just be like a bunch of random. You have heard of Curtis Hughes in there. You'd have whoever this guy is. They'd all be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the Invader's mask. It's a sweet mask.
The Invader's mask was pretty cool. I always liked that. I mean, too bad he's a murdering piece of shit.
Oh.
But
R.I.P. Bruiser Brody.
R.I.P. Bruiser Brody. But I do want to point out here the best part of this article is about Damian Demento. Okay, so Damian Demento is on his first tour of our area, and he seems to be having no problem with the competition. Quote, I will just destruct anyone in my anyone that stands in my way, said the giant strong man.
Oh.
I asked him if he was going back to the WWF, and he nearly knocked me over with his roar. Out of my way, I'm here to demolish every... I am here to demolish everyone, and I do not think about the WWF and my future.
Oh.
But the warlord is a hero down here.
Good.
He has challenged Demento and promises to chase the madman from these sunny isles. Quote, Demento is just a bag of shit. Shout, or bag of expletives.
Yeah.
Which I do like, it goes, percentage sign, dollar sign, at symbol, pound sign, X. So... I've never seen the X
no
in the expletive thing, but I'm assuming he says bag of shit or bag of, well, there's five characters.
Yeah.
Bag of shits.
Yeah.
Shouted the warlord, causing more than a little embarrassment. He will not be much of a challenge for me. I just want the promoters to know that I want him badly. I want him in a match where he cannot run and hide, said the warlord. I want to see Damian Demento wrestle the warlord.
So do I.
I think that is a train wreck of a match, and I want to see it right now.
But you can't see it right now. But what you can see is the back of the magazine.
Oh, here we go.
I forgot to mention. Just Bam Bam Bigelow with a dumb look on his face, and it's awesome.
It's a nice, yeah. I also want to point out, I've always been a big fan of his purple, yellow, and red fire flames on his outfit. That was always a favorite. I also liked his... gray outfit that he used to wear in ECW.
With the two B's on it. Yeah.
Yeah, the gray outfit was pretty good. I also like the one that's mostly got more yellow than red, orange.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as much of a fan of just the basic orange and black, but this is a good one. I like this one.
Yeah, his mid-90s outfit.
The mid-90s one, yeah, yeah.
It's a good outfit.
I think he wore this one at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think 11. He did. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one he was wearing around that time. It's a good one. Yeah, well, that's it for this week's show.
Yeah.
For this magazine.
So a lot of questions that we need answering.
Yes.
I want to know what the poetry jam was about. I want to know what happened with the Warlord and Damian Demento. Did they have their match? Who won the match? Was Damian Demento chased from the Caribbean? I need to know this. And who was that guy that I tweeted the photo
Apple,
of?
Jimmy Appleseed.
It was, I don't even remember his name already.
Oh, Mean Mark Ash?
Mean Mark Ash. Whatever happened to Mean Mark Ash? That's just things we need to know. There's a lot of unanswered questions from this magazine that we're going to need to follow up with at a later date.
I feel like this is actually, in terms of Wrestling World books, I got to say, this is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting things in here.
It's back-to-back favorite issues, I feel.
Yeah.
We did the Sting one last week, which is our favorite PWI. This is probably our favorite Wrestling World.
Yeah, there's a lot in here. I'll tell you this, there's a lot in here that I want to scan. I want to share with the world.
We will.
Yeah.
Because we have a YouTube channel in the works.
You could do that. That's right. Yeah. We could share these videos and be like, yo, check this out.
Yeah, I am in the process of putting together past podcasts with the magazines corresponding them, and I will get them up there on YouTube clips so you can see what we've been talking about. You can go back and listen to the podcasts and go along with the video so you could see what we're seeing. And I feel like that's something that we should have been doing from the get-go, but we're going to do it now, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, give it a shot. It'll be good times.
Yeah, once it's available, we will tweet it to the world.
Yes.
And everyone will know.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at AngryHeroSean.
And I'm Sweatpants Joe on Twitter and Instagram. Also find me on YouTube at Sweatpants Joe Eats. I started a YouTube food review channel, and I like to eat food, and now I'm going to talk about that.
So. Hell yeah. And you can also find myself on my other podcast, Worst Collection Ever, where I talk about comic books with my wife, Jen. And then you can also find us on Facebook.
Like the page on Facebook. We post from time to time on Facebook just photos we find interesting and whatnot, or articles or what have you.
Yep.
Breaking news. So on my Twitter, Stately Wayne Manor responded because I tweeted him the photo of Mean Mark Ash. And I said, Stately Wayne Manor, we are recording a wrestling world for the next podcast. How did this guy end up with his photo in the mag? And I took a picture of the photo and I tweeted it. And he responded, further proof that wrestling world was far ahead of the times, featuring the sort of physique popular among indie wrestlers in 2018. So there you go, right from the horse's mouth himself, Stately Wayne Manor, commenting on this podcast.
You the man, dude. We appreciate this magazine. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, yo.